What was it like being there this week as the team looked as if they were collapsing?
It's actually kind of interesting because I think there's this like idea that, you know, everyone's just like, there's no momentum and there's no vibes and everything like that. But the truth is that vibes come from winning, and they haven't been winning. The two go hand in hand. So I would say that it's very like professional and business-like. The one question I kept kind of asking, especially towards the tail end of the road trip, was, you know, do you feel like guys are not just pressing, but almost because they keep talking about how hard they work, how they come in early, how they do all this batting practice, like almost to the point where you get into your own head a little bit. And I was wondering, like, are you in your own head a little bit? And they generally said no. But I mean, these guys do not want to be losing. And it is very clear when you walk in there after a demoralizing loss that it's hitting them pretty hard. And the reality is that they know the stakes. They know the fact that they have this incredible, like, just payroll, and they have all this talent, and they're not putting it together. And the fact that they can't figure out why, there's certainly frustration. There's certainly people who want to be the hero, and they just can't put it together. And when that happens, sometimes that means that your at-bats look a little bit different. Your performances look a little bit different. And unfortunately for the Mets, it's just not coming together.
Yeah. I think people often associate teams who are struggling in baseball, especially teams when they're not hitting, is like, they don't care, they're not trying. I honestly think it's usually the opposite. Like, they're trying too hard at this point. You know, the players aren't really going to admit that they're pressing. I think what the manager's been saying has been a little bit more interesting. I know he gets criticized because he kind of says the same thing every day, but like, if you lose every single day, I don't know how many other things there are to say. But I think it was after Saturday's loss, which was another one-run loss, couldn't come back in the ninth inning again. He was asked by somebody if they were pressing, and he didn't give like a hard yes or no, but he basically said like, yes, that they're either swinging at balls out of the strike zone that they shouldn't, or they're taking fastballs down the middle that they should be swinging at. I think we still saw a lot of that on Sunday, and it was really the case all week. Every time the offense has struggled this year, it has seemed like it's been like that kind of issue. Like, they're overthinking it at the plate. Mendoza sometimes has almost seemed to like criticize them in a soft way of like, yeah, we're telling them to do certain things, but they're actually like not doing those things sometimes. And I wonder if that's part of just like the pressure of the situation, both like with the standings and just the pressure that they walked into the season with.
I think so. And I think there's like a really interesting juxtaposition to make from like last year's team and this year's team. Everyone's like, oh, you know, last year's team had all this magic and all this mojo and blah, blah, blah. But I think the true difference was that last year's team didn't have expectations, and this year's team did. And they got a taste of what it would be like to win in this city, and they wanted more of it. Like, if you covered the postseason last year and you saw Francisco Lindor, you could see like he was like, no, this is what I want. I want, and obviously every baseball player wants that. And you don't make it to MLB just to be like, oh, you know, I really want to be like, you know, in fourth place in the NL East or whatever it is. But there was that idea that this year they're expected to win. And I think when there is that expectation, and you start out as hot as the Mets did, and then you suddenly go into this decline, it's hard to self-correct. Because, you know, like, people like talk about the team meeting last year with JD Martinez and Francisco Lindor leading the way. And the biggest takeaway from that, and I'm not a big team meeting person, like, I don't think like you can just like will your way into winning. But the biggest takeaway was, hey, we got to play a little bit looser. And I thought it was interesting when after Sean Manaea's start this past weekend, or whatever day it is, I honestly don't know. It was towards the middle of the week.
Yeah,
I have completely forgotten what day it is.
Time's a construct.
Time is a construct, and it is a flat circle.
Yes.
Manaea was like, well, you know, like, because he got lit up for the first two innings, and he's like, and I was like, it can't get any worse. Might as well just like put it all on the line. And I think that was kind of the same mentality that they had last year that maybe they're missing this year. That's not to say that mentality is everything. These are Major League Baseball players. Again, they know how to hit. They know how to kind of like look at a pitcher's weaknesses and make the most of it. But I do think it's part of it. And so I feel like when I look at especially their late game at bats, the getting behind in counts, and then you're chasing because suddenly you're on your heels a little bit. that is 100% like, okay, we are trying to figure this out. Everybody wants to be the hero. Let me do everything that I can. And it's not working. You saw the Francisco Alvarez at bat where he was like sitting fastball and he chased three curveballs out of the zone against the Phillies and they were all out of the strike zone.
Not even close.
Yeah. Not even close. That's not a guy who doesn't know how to hit. That's a guy who is trying to make the most of something and wants to come through but can't because there's like there's a lot of pressure at this point.
Mm-hmm. It seems like the longer this streak of not coming back in the ninth inning goes, like they are so aware of it just as much as the fans are. For those counting, it's 0-65 now, which is a lot. They're the only team in baseball that has not come back in the ninth inning so far this year to win a game. And yeah, you saw it. I mean, like three times in the last week, they had the tying run in scoring position in the ninth inning in a game they were trailing and they lost all three games. That was the last game against the Reds, the first game against the Phillies, which was probably, I would say, the worst one. Cause you, at least in that situation, you had McNeil, who was like probably the one guy you want up there when you just need contact and he couldn't.
It was a good at bat.
It was a good at bat. It's just like, part of it's pressing. Part of it is like an unbelievable turn of bad luck. And then other situations, like sometimes the other guys are better too. And it's just kind of like coagulated in this horrible 0-65 mark on their ledger. And then again on Saturday with the loss against the Rangers. And it's just, I don't know. It's kind of hard to put your finger on it because you look at last year's team and it was like, they're never dead. They're so resilient. Basically everything they did after, you know, that team meeting, which to your point, you only really hear about them when they do well. Like there's a million team meetings where the team still sucks afterwards.
All the time.
I'm sure they've had a team meeting this year that we never heard about.
I'm sure they had one. There was one point, in this last series against the Phillies where we were kind of like kept out of the clubhouse for like a little bit. And the security guard was like, oh, just wait. I don't know if they're going to let you in. I was like, are they having a team meet? I don't know. but they had one. They had one after the Pirates series, certainly. And, you know, that didn't really work. That was on the road in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. Like sometimes team meetings work, but it's generally overblown. That being said, I do think it is important, this idea of just like not playing as tight as they are.
Yeah. You know, you talk about like the fun and the loose vibes they had last year. A lot of people attribute that to two guys, JD Martinez and Jose Iglesias, who aren't here anymore. JD Martinez is out of baseball because he couldn't hit for the last 3 months last year. And Jose Iglesias is on a good Padres team, but has been quite bad as a role player. He's got like a sub 600 OPS this year. He's kind of gone back to what I associate Jose Iglesias to be at this point. But fans bring these guys up a lot, and they clearly brought a lot to that clubhouse last year. They had the song, they had all the stuff they were doing. JD Martinez is kind of like the non-official hitting coach in addition to what they do have. But part of me also is like, if your clubhouse kind of falls apart because two like late 30-year-old veterans who aren't really good baseball players anymore aren't around, like it does worry me a tad bit about the state of the rest of the clubhouse. Like if it's that fragile, is that an,
I don't know, like
reaction?
That's such a hard question to answer. I feel like a little bit of that is some magical thinking. Like, you know, like you look at last season and people would like have all these talismans, like the rally pumpkin and Grimace and everything else. But that's,
I forgot about the pumpkin.
The pumpkin, yeah. Oh man, seeing the pumpkin in the trash was like, whoa, that is brutal. That's brutal. I do think a little bit is magical thinking, but like to the point of like a guy like having JD Martinez, was he helpful? Yeah, probably. Just because he was able to impart knowledge to other people. Jose Iglesias, if you noticed last year, a lot of times he was getting on base with like these little infield singles. He was just hustling it out. It lengthened the lineup. These guys actually brought something tangible. Do I think that, you know, like JD Martinez should have come back? No, probably not, because he'd be getting booed out of the stadium too if he can't hit. Do I think, you know, like, you know, if Jose Iglesias, he's not going to make another song and he's not going to resurrect the season. It was just kind of like a lightning in the bottle moment. right now, what they're dealing with, you know, everyone says they're inconsistent. They are mm-hmm. inconsistent. And what happens is that guys are just not getting hot at the same time. And that is the nature of baseball. And when that happens, you just have rally killers in the middle of the lineup. So you'll have, we're looking at Juan Soto having an absolutely incredible career year. He's hitting all these home runs. There's no one on base. Mm-hmm. So like, how much damage is he really doing?
Right.
You know, like, so all these factors are coming together. Sometimes that's just how things work out. Teams get hot, players get hot. All of it's contagious. It depends on whether or not they can do it through this stretch run, which we're gonna find out.
Yeah. And let me ask you, what was the first year you started covering the Mets regularly?
2015.
Okay, so you're the right person to talk to about this, because I think there's been this notion, and I myself have been thinking about this recently as well. Obviously, you had last year, which is like the most like un-Mets-like kind of year, you know, like 2015 and 2024 are kind of like outliers of fun runs, whereas usually it goes kind of like how it's going right now.
Yeah.
But if you look back to the four seasons we've had of, or I guess five seasons that we've had of this core of Lindor, Nimmo, McNeil, Alonso, which started in 2021, in most of those years, the team has kind of fallen apart at some point under the pressure. In 2021, it was that like June to July area where they started off hot, probably hotter than they should have, but in a weekend at least, and they wound up buying at the deadline and being completely out of it before September. 2022, they were a machine, but they less of a collapse, more of like a last weekend choke, and then they got washed in the playoffs. 2023, I'd say before this year, was the highest expectations the team's probably ever had coming into a season, and they were sellers at the deadline. I mean, they traded David Robertson in like June of that year. And now you have this year, again, one of, if not the most anticipated season of all time for the Mets, and it's kind of played out the way that it has. There is a perception, even with last year, that like this core struggles when there are expectations on them and when they are under pressure. You've been around the team for that entire period of time. I've heard small things about people questioning whether that's true, not necessarily that it is or it isn't. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't necessarily know if that's accurate. Like, I mean, I feel like, especially when we were talking about Pete Alonso and Jeff McNeil, which I don't think are the names that you really expect me to say in that situation. These guys actually do show up in pretty clutch moments. Is Jeff McNeil going to hit the bomb that like wins the game? No, but he'll find a way to get on base most of the time. Pete Alonso, he has always been a streaky hitter. So there are going to be times where he hits those high highs like he did in Milwaukee and actually like he did today. And then there are going to be times where it's not going to happen. I don't necessarily know that there is something wrong with the core per se. I do think it's an issue with their pitching. And that has been something systemic throughout the last couple of years. I thought it was interesting that they kind of went, not interesting, expected, but I guess a little bit confusing the way that they structured the rotation this year. I remember asking David Stearns earlier this year about like, you know, the stats like expected ERA and just like at that point, the rotation had been like 100% outstripping their expected ERA.
Yeah, way better than they should have been.
Right. And he's like, oh, no, you know, I'm like, we don't look at that. We look at the results. And I'm like, I don't know, because while it's true that these are all like contact pitchers and you need like guys to make plays behind you. And so your expected ERA is probably going to be higher because people are making contact.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't necessarily know how long that would actually hold up. So we have seen some issues with their pitching. We have seen some issues with like, okay, try to get by without like really a frontline starter. Kodai Senga, while he had a great rookie season, you could see kind of like the holes a little bit in his repertoire. So when we look at the offense, I don't necessarily know that it's the core. I mean, Juan Soto is having one of the best seasons of his life and he's a generational talent and it's still not enough because when you get behind in a game early, which they do often because of the nature of their rotation, which is not great. What happens is that the at-bats start looking different. you start kind of getting, you're like, okay, I have to be aggressive. So you start swinging at pitches earlier in the count, and they're not necessarily your pitches. And suddenly, you know, you're beating yourself. And that's what we see a lot with this offense. So I wouldn't put so much of this season necessarily on the offense, especially of late, even though it hasn't looked all that great.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. And yet I do like a little bit, you know what I mean? Like the pitching stinks.
It's really bad.
Let's be completely honest. The pitching sucks, and it has sucked for quite a while. It was again really bad. They had an ERA of 5.85 this week, like quite bad. They lost a couple games because of their pitching for sure. They also averaged less than 3 runs a game this week. They averaged less than 3 runs a game the last 11 games, which they only won 2. And there have been some of those games which, yeah, like they lost like 9-2 or 9-3, whatever. I kind of throw that out at that point for the offense. But there are 3-4 games over this stretch that they easily could have won if they just got a big hit, and it never really happened.
Thanks for listening to this free preview of the Just Mets podcast. If you liked what you heard and want access to full weekly episodes and additional bonus content, you can become a supporter of Just Mets on patreon.com/justmets or on justmets.net.